Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Somebody next to you and say, push the plough. Break the ground. Sow the seed. Reap the harvest. Make disciples. Right, there you go. In five little statements, that's the Christian life, okay? Everybody say it again. Push the plough. Break the ground. Sow the seed. Reap the harvest. Make disciples. Do you love that? It's not just a catchy little bunch of phrases. So we're going to kind of be looking and unpacking some of this, okay? Big picture for a moment. The church, not just ours, but the church. What is the church? It's God's people on earth. Whether we're called the bride, a household of faith, whether we're called the body, no matter what name we're given, we are God's people on earth. And what does God want to do in and through the church? He wants to reveal who he is to the world. He wants to reveal who he is to our neighbor, work colleagues, friends, family, community, town, city, nation, and beyond. His church is light, city on a hill, salt, whatever different words we describe. But God wants to reveal who he is in and through the church. God wants the church in our nation to rise up. Why? Because God wants his rule and reign to be in our nation. We understand that we have a prime minister. We understand that we have a government and a system of government in our nation. We know we have local government. We have those in authority that are over us, that run things in different ways. We know we have the police force, the fire service, the ambulance service. We have all kinds of things in place to govern and for the health and well-being of who we are as a nation, as local communities. But there's a role that God has given the church. And the role that God has given the church is to be his people on earth, to see his rule and reign come into our communities, our society, into the culture, into the nation that we live. Is that right or not? Yeah. And he takes very ordinary people just like you and me. Okay, he takes very ordinary people, down-to-earth people like you and I, and he says, I want to rule and reign through your life because I want to impact communities, towns, cities, regions, nations, and all of that kind of stuff. And he takes the very ordinary people just like you and me, and he says, I want to do something extraordinary through your lives. Yeah. Is anybody here this morning? Yeah. Just at least nudge your neighbor if you hear something that's like, yes, amen. Just nudge them, even if they say amen on your behalf, okay? But to see God's rule and reign out there, for us to be praying certain things and releasing certain things, there's a starting place for that, and that's God's rule and reign in our own lives. That's God's rule and reign in our lives as we seek to walk with him, that is being outworked. So God has a high calling for the church. It's a people that know God, who walk in his ways, who walk in holiness, a people who are walking in purity, living in a people that love one another in the same way that he loved us. It's a people that are seeking to reveal who he is out to the world, to friends and neighbors and whatever context we're going to do that in. But in order to do that and to be that, then there needs to be his rule and reign in our own lives. How do we walk in the rule and reign of God in our own lives? Well, to walk in the rule and reign of God takes a daily relationship with him. And in that daily relationship, it means a moment by moment surrendering of our wills, of our thoughts, our hearts, our minds. It's a moment by moment relationship where we're seeking to walk surrendered to his will, to his heart, to his mind, to his thoughts, to his ways. And as we seek to live surrendered to him or under his authority, then we can then not only exercise his authority in our own lives, so his rule and reign is expressed in us and through us in our own lives, but then also as we live under his authority, we can exercise the authority we have as believers and as a church into whatever he wants to do to reveal his rule and reign, or to release his rule and reign, or to release his purposes into our towns, communities, 25-mile radius, and further afield. Everybody here this morning?
Yeah.
So I want to just look at a few scriptures this morning, and we want to go on a little journey for a few minutes in terms of God's rule and reign in our own lives, because God wants to release his rule and reign into the community, into the town and beyond. God has given the church a mandate. There is a mandate on the church to live as kingdom people on earth, to live in his rule and reign, to live in his righteousness, to live as a holy people, to live as a people of intercession, a people of prayer, a people who stand in the gap between God and the world and will pray into being his purposes in his heart. And so therefore, God has called the church to live as a selfless body, as a selfless bride, as a selfless army, whatever the Bible describes the church to be. So God has called us as people to live a selfless life. Now, to the flesh, that is not attractive, is it? When we start to preach messages like God has called you to, you know, to be dead to self, he's called you to deny yourself, he's called us to live a selfless life, your flesh on the inside goes, oh no, I don't like that. But your spirit on the inside goes, yes, that's what I want. This is why my spirit has come alive now in my relationship with God. That when he came to live in me by his spirit, he brought me alive to who he is, and he's alive in me, and your spirit cries out, God, I want to be like you, I want to walk with you, I want to walk in your ways. But your flesh, as soon as we speak about things like deny yourself, live selfless, your flesh goes, oh, that doesn't appeal to me, I don't like that, you know, can't I do a little bit of God here and a little bit of myself over there? And whichever one you fuel, whichever one you put wood on the fire for, will be the thing that becomes stronger in your life. Now, the great thing is we don't have to fight the flesh. We don't have to fight all that stuff, because Jesus won that victory on the cross. Amen. He defeated sin, death, and hell. So the power of the flesh, if you like, that could be operating in our life, the power of that has actually been defeated. And when we came to Christ and we got baptized in the Holy Spirit, God gave us the power that we needed to enable us to live in victory over self. Or the flesh, okay? But it's not that God's given us the Spirit that we then fight the flesh with the Holy Spirit. God has given us his Spirit to enable us to walk in him, to walk in his ways, to walk in the truth. And as we seek to walk with him and in the truth and in his ways, and as we give ourselves to him, by doing that, we are denying everything else.
Yeah.
So we're not there standing, fighting, saying, everything in me wants to do that, but my spirit wants to do this. Everything wants to do that, but I want to do this. See, what you sow to is what you reap. And we want to sow to the Spirit in our life. We want to sow to that relationship with God in our life. We want to sow into what then becomes stronger. And you've probably found this in the same way as I have. When you sow to the Spirit, you sow in your relationship with God, as we've been doing through this year, getting into the Word, reading the Word every day, doing soap, which you're probably sick of me saying every time I get up here. Scripture, read the Word, observation, what's he saying to you? Application, what does that mean for my life? How do I live that out today? And prayer, I'm going to pray through that. Why? Because we want to go deeper in the things of God, because we want to go further in his purposes. God, I don't just want to know about you, I want to know you. Three people want to know Jesus here today. The rest, we just turn up on a Sunday morning. Anyway, God wants to blow stuff out of the water in our lives where we just settled and stuff is just whatever, I don't know. But we want to sow to the Spirit in our lives, right? And so that is part of saying, God, I want to walk with you moment by moment. I want to surrender my mind, my thoughts, my emotions, what's going on in this moment. I don't want to do a whole great rest thing, but it comes back to that. It's about living in the great rest. What does that mean? The great rest means a moment by moment relationship with Jesus, where I'm walking with him moment by moment, seeking to hear his voice, be led by the Spirit, And if I live in the great rest, and I'm saying, God, I want to live for you, what I'm doing is, God, I surrender my mind in this moment, my emotions, my response, my heart, my will, because it's a moment-by-moment thing that we're doing. And God has given us the Holy Spirit to enable us to live in that kind of relationship with God. When you sow to the Spirit, as we heard a couple of weeks ago, what happens? You sow to the Spirit, you're sowing into the desire, into a hunger to know God. And brilliant word by Pastor Colin last week about, you know, good intentions without any action are a complete waste of time. But good intentions with the actions go with it will actually end up being fruitful. So, you know, we can have good intentions as Christians, but if we never follow through, it's never going to produce anything. Just in James chapter 1, there's some pretty hefty stuff that James speaks about in just quickly in that chapter. In chapter 1, he says, if I can just kind of whisk through some of this, he says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. There you go. Job done. We could finish there this morning. Don't just merely listen to the word and deceive ourselves, but do what it says. That's basically what Pastor Connie was saying last week. Don't just have good intentions because we know about stuff, but actually let's do the stuff and live it out and see it expressed. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. So we're going through the word this year. We're reading different chapters. We're doing soap, right? What is that about? It's not about just reading it and ticking it off. As I've said before, you might read a chapter that day, you get to the third or fourth or fifth verse and suddenly the Holy Spirit speaks to you. He gets your attention and he starts speaking to you about something, about him or about you in relation to him or something going on in your life. And you get stuck in that verse. And it doesn't matter whether you don't end up reading the rest of the chapter. It's about meeting with God. It's about knowing him. It's about having a face-to-face with Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit as he reveals something in the word to you about who he is and about what's happening in our lives. Anybody up for more of that? And what that does, it creates hunger in us, right? And James is saying there, don't just listen, but do it. So part of the reason for doing soap is not just so that we say, oh, we're reading the Bible this year. Because if it doesn't lead to any actions, again, it's just a good intention. So we want to live out what we're reading. We want to live out what God is showing us, okay? And what does that mean to live it out? It means, well, if I'm going to live this, then I need to surrender my thoughts, my mind, my will, my emotions, so that I then walk in what God is saying to me through his word. God's not going to change what he says to you every day, one day about this, one day about that. Normally, you'll probably find this the same as I do, he seems to be speaking to you about something over a period of time. So maybe a few days as you're reading the word, he's talking to you about a subject and somehow when you're reading the word, it keeps popping up and you're like, I think God, you're trying to get my attention or there's something you want to do in me or there's something I need to respond and live out in a different way because you've got my attention. God will work with us in the word so that we then live that word out. He won't just say one thing one day and another thing another, because he knows you're probably just like me. It doesn't just take one moment, one time for God to say something and I suddenly go, yeah, brilliant, right, I'll live in that fully. God seems to have to talk to me a little bit and explain things and show me stuff and reveal things. And I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, right, okay, yeah, yeah. And because God knows what we're like, but he's amazingly patient. See, so why we wanted to soak, why we wanted to go deeper, why we wanted to get in the word so that there's a greater release of God's authority, rule and reign in our lives so that when we then come together, when we then come to step into together everything that God is saying as we pray or we go or whatever we're doing, there's a greater release of God's authority, God's rule and reign through our lives because whatever we're living in will be released. God can't release more through our lives than we're actually living in with him. When I was praying, I think it was last night, just about this morning, I had this phrase, prayer without relationship is religion. So you might say, yeah, but prayer is relationship. No, you know, you got something that you're praying into and it's like, well, I'm just going to pray. That's the, you know, it's like we can pray many things, but prayer Everything we do flows out of relationship. James, again, chapter 5, it says, verse 17 and 18, Elijah was a man just like us. Hang on a minute. Elijah was some Old Testament prophet. One minute he was here, the next minute he was somewhere else. He was like, he was transported here, there and everywhere. Sometimes people, where's Elijah? I don't know. He's pinged off somewhere else now. And he did that quite a bit, didn't he, Elijah? And but the Bible says here, Elijah was a man just like us. What does it say then? He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. God challenged me the other day. He spoke about 10, 12, it was a couple of weeks ago. And I was praying one morning, and God reminded me, he said, Clive, just turn to James 5, where it talks about Elijah. So I went there, and Elijah, man, just like us, la, 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 la. And he said, right, do you believe that when you pray, things can happen on the same scale as when Elijah prayed? He prayed, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then it says, then he prayed and the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crops. Now, it's really interesting here. The word, or that phrase, prayed earnestly, okay? Because I'm like, okay, prayed earnestly. Well, we pray earnestly, you know. But that word, prayed earnestly, there are several Greek words that you can use in terms of praying earnestly, okay? And each one begins with pros, P-R-O-S. Then there's a dash, another little part, and another dash, right? But there's 3 or 4 different words that can describe praying in different ways, okay? So pros, whatever. But the word pros means face-to-face. And so when it's saying, it says, he prayed face-to-face that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. You see, God is after face-to-face relationship with us. And then what he wants to release into our lives and other people's lives comes from a face-to-face relationship with him. So in this context, it was the kind of prayer it was called was supplication, okay? There's another kind of pros with the other bits after it that more is talking about prayer in the context of worship. So it's more face-to-face worship, okay? There's another one that is like face-to-face intercession, okay? So there's different Greek words that describe different types of prayer, but the first part of it is always face-to-face. Face-to-face worship, face-to-face supplication, face-to-face intercession. And so God is after face-to-face relationship with us, okay? And this is part of why we wanted to go deeper, not just because we want to read the Bible, it's because we want to know him face-to-face. I want to know you intimately. I want to walk in your ways. I want to walk with you. I want to walk with your heart and your mind. I want to be led by you, filled with you. And then whatever then I pray comes in the context of that relationship with you. And so we want to have victory in our own lives and his lordship in our own lives if we're going to see victory and his lordship released in and through us. So maybe you've got some stuff going on at home, in your family, your marriage, or challenges with your kids and all that kind of stuff. As a parent, I always have to shine the light on myself, first of all. Okay, so there's something going on. Something needs to change. In my home, I'm the head of the household in that respect. Whoever is in your situation, head of the household, it starts with you and your home. So my first thing is, if something's not going right, something's not good, or something needs to change, I have to first say, right, this is my responsibility. Whatever that might be, I'm not doing so good, or something's up with my wife, or something's wrong with one of my kids, or whatever's going on starts with me. Okay, so what am I going to do about them? But first thing I want to say, okay, I've let something get to this point. Or something's happening in my home that's my responsibility. So is there something I have not done and not taken responsibility for that has allowed something to begin to happen in my family, in my home? So I take responsibility for that and then have to say, okay, what's going on in me then? Or what have I abdicated or just not done or whatever? And so it starts with me. Am I actually in a place where I'm living surrender to God in this, you know, in my home, in my family? Am I listening to God for what he wants to do in my marriage and in my family? Am I praying certain things and taking responsibility in my home and family? Am I standing as a watchman over my marriage and my family, my household? Am I being who I'm supposed to be in that scenario? Because if something's kicking off, I've got to start with me, not just look at the symptom that, or what's kicking off in somebody else's life. Okay? And so I need to make sure, is Jesus really Lord of my life? Am I allowing him to be Lord in me and Lord of my marriage, Lord of my family, or am I abdicating some stuff? Okay? So anybody here is a parent and you got family, you got to start with you. If something's not right, either in yourself or your marriage or with one of your kids or all your kids, depending on, hopefully, you know, we can help there, you know, but I can't do something that you're responsible for. And you can't do that in my situation, okay? And it starts with face to face. So we need to see a breakthrough in our home. We need to see his victory in our home. We need to see something happen in our marriage or our home life or whatever it is in one of our kids. So therefore, it starts with us. So we say, yeah, we want to change. And maybe last week's word was challenging. Well, there's an intention. I'd love it to change. But do we do any? What do we take responsibility to see that change? Because if we don't take responsibility in our own home, then it's going to be difficult to take responsibility over a wider mandate that God gives us as his people on earth, the church, to see other families and other people, individuals and other situations transformed if we're not face to face ourselves, because God doesn't just want people to make a decision for Jesus and come to church on a Sunday. He wants to know every person out there face to face. That's what he wants. He died on the cross so that we can have a face to face relationship with the Creator, with the Eternal One, with the Mighty One. Amen. So sometimes, you know, for me, when I get up in the morning, I always pray for my wife and always pray for my kids every day. And I speak God's blessing, God's abundance, God's favor over their lives. And I ask the Holy Spirit, would you reveal who you are today into their lives? Thank you for a greater hunger and all of that. So every day praying for my family. Why? Because I have a responsibility. So if something's not right, sometimes we get together, obviously, and we take authority over that in our home. We're not having that or whatever's going on. Or I do in my own life, but I need to make sure I'm being vigilant. I'm being a watchman over my own heart and life and over my family and household. But it comes from face to face, face to face. Matthew chapter 26, we're kind of jumping about a little bit, just the next couple of minutes. Matthew 26, it's the context where Jesus is in Gethsemane and he's about to pray through to that point where he's completely submitted to the will of the Father, ready to go through the cross, and he sweats blood in that moment and everything that that represents. So he's with the disciples, they're in the 12, they're in the garden with him, and Jesus says in verse 36 to these guys, he says, sit here while I go over there and pray. And then he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Note that little phrase, stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not my will, but your will be done. Then he returned to his disciples and found them asleep or sleeping. Could you not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, or the body is weak. So we often talk about Jesus here, but let's just talk about the disciples for a minute. Jesus says something really interesting. Keep watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. We have a responsibility as the church for what goes on in Horsham. We have a responsibility as to what goes on in Burgess Hill, or Worthing, or Crawley, or wherever we've got people living in the life of the church, wherever God wants us to establish congregations. But as the church, not just us, but the church, we have a responsibility for what goes on in our communities, our towns. We have the authority as the church, as believers, to see God's rule and reign come into our communities and our towns and where we are. That's pretty huge, isn't it? Yeah. And God wants us to understand the authority that we have as the church, where we're here to see God's kingdom come, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we have an authority to see God's kingdom, life and power released into our communities, into people's lives. There are loads of things that are at work out there that want to take people out, steal, kill and destroy, ruin people's lives. But we've been given the power that can do the complete opposite to that, to see people set free and delivered in their lives. And we have that power on the inside of us. And firstly, God wants us to live in that power in our own lives and exercise the authority that we have in our own lives. And so therefore, Jesus says to these guys, keep watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. You could use other phrases. Keep watch and pray so that you don't go off the boil. Keep watching and pray so you don't just get familiar with everything. Keep watching and praying so that you don't get taken in by somebody else or something else. Keep watch and pray so that you don't gradually go back to your old life or what you might have done here and there. Keep watch and pray. Stay vigilant because there's somebody out there that is looking to steal, kill and destroy people's lives, and he hasn't finished with you. He still wants to take you out and me out. He still wants to take us off course. So Jesus is saying, keep watch and pray. I don't know, because we weren't there, and it, obviously all the disciples ended up denying Jesus. I wonder if the disciples, those guys, had kept watch and prayed, what might have happened? Don't know. There is stuff prophesied, isn't it, that all would deny him and turn away from him. So therefore, it was all part of, you know, Jesus being left totally on his own, okay? But yet Jesus says, keep watch and pray. There's a vigilance that we want to have as believers in our own lives, okay? Vigilance over our own lives. To keep his victory, his lordship in that right place in our lives. So that when we step in together to what God says to us, that we're not scrabbling around, first of all, just trying to get sort ourselves out in that way. And it's like, I can't, you know, but actually we're helping one another keep watch and pray. But then when we come together, there's a release of what God wants to do through us as a people. Your small group, whatever small group you're part of, man, that can be a powerhouse together of seeing God work, not just in your life, but through your life. You know, the guys in Burgess Hill, 21 people, you know, they went, take a whole bunch of people that didn't know Jesus, you know, to hear the gospel for the day. And they're praying for them still, building relationships. And some of those people are going to get saved over the next few weeks and months. Amen. There's other small groups that are doing things for other small groups, serving and blessing and doing other things. But even your small group context is a little powerhouse of prayer, of agreement, of faith, to see victories, to see things overcome. It's like God, I believe, wants to encourage us. Come on, guys, step up in your own life in a fresh way. Just have a fresh realization of who you are and who you have on the inside of you, the victory that you can live in, the authority, the rule and reign that you can move in your own life, in your own home, in your own situations. Sometimes if we've let stuff go, it can feel a bit like an uphill thing. Man, it just feels like I've lost so much ground. I don't know how I'm going to get it all back. Well, that's why we're part of a body, so we can help one another regain ground much more quickly than trying to do it on our own. And then we can advance together, go together. God doesn't want any of us to live as an island. He doesn't want any families to be left as an island struggling with stuff. We're here to build each other up, help each other walk with God. We'll help and all that kind of stuff. But the power of that, the release of that, comes out as you and I seek to live surrendered moment by moment, day by day, as we use the authority that we have to stay submitted, surrendered. Like the centurion, when he came to Jesus and he said, would you heal my servant? And he says, yeah, come on, let's go. And he said, no, you don't need to come. He said, because I recognize there's an authority about you, because you're submitted to an authority. And because you're submitted to authority, you just have to say the word and I know my servant will be healed. And Jesus was like, wow, I've not seen such faith in the whole of Israel. It wasn't just right now, but the whole, he said, I haven't seen such faith. And he said, and then he said, go, your servant is well. And the Bible says at that hour, at that moment, his servant was healed. So when the centurion got back to his house, the guy was fit and well and healthy. Pretty cool, eh? But it shows the power of being under authority. Authority in and of ourselves, you know, it doesn't affect change. But when we're submitted to his authority and his power, man, what can happen through our lives? Let's stand together, shall we? we'll come back to at some point, push the plough, break the ground and all that kind of stuff, okay? But this is all part of it. God wants us to push the plough, break the ground, sow the seed, reap the harvest, make disciples. Starts with us in our own lives. So maybe just as you stand before the Lord in the next couple of moments, just surrender yourself afresh. If you've had some things going on and you know you need to see some victory, just firstly surrender yourself. In the same way it says Elijah was a man just like us, then he prayed earnestly. Maybe you need to say to the Lord, God, I need to come back to a face-to-face relationship with you. I've let some things drift. Or I've just got into a pattern of my lifestyle where you're in it and you're there, but actually I can't. The face-to-face with you just seems to be, it's just not quite there. It seems to be more of a hand relationship with you where I need something from you rather than a face-to-face intimate relationship with you. That's a starting point. God, I want to be a pros person, a face-to-face person with you, relationship with you. I want to know you, Father. Not just you do victories because I need them, but I want a face-to-face so that whatever prayer, however you lead me to pray, your power is released to see victories, to see your rule and reign, change things, transform things in my life, my family, my marriage, workplace, whatever context, the community, as we go in your name. Father, I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just surrender your will afresh, your mind, your thoughts, your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Just submit fresh. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed and it stopped raining for 3.5 years. Man, if one person can do that who's submitted to God, what can a body of people see happen if we walk in his ways? We're called to live a selfless life. That challenges every fibre of your flesh. But your spirit is saying, that's how I want to live. Sowing into my relationship with God, sowing into the Spirit, sowing into life. Father, I thank you. I praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just pray over these next few days as we just seek to go further in your word, as we got even next Saturday, the first of the month, as we new reading plan for next month, reading the book of Acts and more Psalms, as we have that first 7 days of the week to pray, the 24/7 prayer, as we're praying for friends and families, people to be saved. We're praying for our town, where we live, our community. We're praying into things and the promises you've given, the scriptures you've given us, whatever you're saying, how to pray, what to pray. We're praying to see release and breakthrough. But Father, we recognize prayer without relationship is just religion. It's just form. So Father, would you continue to work amongst us that increasingly we become face-to-face people with you, face-to-face related, face-to-face church with you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe if you've got a situation going on, just bring it to the Lord right now. Whatever it is, challenges, whatever they are, just bring it to him. Father, I lift that before you right now. And two things, Father, I want to be face-to-face with you in my relationship. But I thank you for that download of wisdom and everything that I need to see victory. I don't want to blame anybody else or say it's their fault. I want to take full responsibility first as to what is my part and make sure I'm ready. Take responsibility so that what you want to do in others can then be released, because I'm being responsible and being who you called me to be in the midst of that situation. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you for a church on the move. I thank you for a church of victorious believers. I thank you for people who are overcomers. I thank you for people who are living surrendered, a people of the great rest. I thank you for people who are just seeing your rule and reign being released. The power of prayer is amazing. God's getting Jane and I to pray into some things, and some of what he's getting us to pray at the moment, which I can't share at the moment, we're calling things that are not as though they were. We're calling things that are not as though they were. We're calling things in that are not as though they were, and God's just got us doing some stuff, and it's like that Elijah stuff. Clive, do you believe that what you pray is like if it can stop rain over a nation, can the things I'm getting you to pray, they might not be at that level at this moment, but in terms of what I'm getting you to pray for, if he can see that, you can see this. And I believe God wants us to get our heads up and say, hang on a minute, I'm not going to settle for anything less than God's best. I'm not settling for anything less than that. I'm going for God's best. Amen?
Amen.
Just turn to somebody next year and say, Elijah was a man just like you. If he can see it, if he can pray and see a release, then so can you. Amen. Be blessed. Have a great afternoon. Love you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.